From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the only bill to get unanimous support in both houses of Congress. Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. We got a great show for you today. We have got Tony Robbins, the internationally famous speaker and consultant and life coach. He's the guy who millions of people have flocked to find out how to unleash their power within and leave their terrible, soul-crushing jobs and live the life they really want. So if this goes well, you will never hear us on this little crap shack again. We are busting out. So unleash your power, or at least your telephone, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Grace Hopkins, and I'm calling from Truro, Massachusetts.
Truro, Massachusetts?
Yes.
Yes. I think they're being polite, but maybe they know that Truro is a beautiful place out in Cape Cod, right?
It is. We're almost to the end, one town away from Provincetown.
Oh, I see. You got, like, almost out there, then you felt a little shy and said, no, let's just stay here.
Yeah.
What do you do there?
I'm an artist, and I manage a gallery.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to our show, Grace. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, it's the host of Live Wire Radio and the man behind the podcast, Too Beautiful to Live. It's Luke Burbank. Hey, Grace. Next, it's a comedian and a writer for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's Gabe Liedman. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Next and finally, it is the comedian who will be performing at the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center in Charlotte, North Carolina on July 11th, Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Grace.
So, Grace, I bet you know this, but you're going to play Whose Bill this time. Bill starts us off every week by recreating three voices from the week's news. Of course, your job, identify or explain that 2 out of 3 times. If you do, you'll win our once-in-future prize, the voice of Carl Castle, scorekeeper emeritus on your home voicemail. You ready to play?
Very much so. That's exciting.
It is exciting. All right, your first quote comes from Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
It's Democrat on Democrat violence.
Senator Cruz was talking about Senate Democrats uniting to fight what common enemy this week?
I think it has something to do with the bill, the thing that Elizabeth Warren was fighting against.
Yes, that's right. They were fighting against this, but specifically, who was the person they were trying to bring down, who they were trying to fight, who they were accusing of misleading the American public?
Obama?
Yes, their own president, President Obama. So this week, President Obama got into a bitter fight with Senator Elizabeth Warren over whether customs enforcement terms in a trade bill should include measures on currency manipulation. This was a real blow to the people who insisted just last week that Mayweather-Pacquiao was the most boring fight in history. Senate Democrats initially declared victory over their own leader by defeating Obama's bill, and then a few days later in the Senate, they accepted a token compromise and let it pass. So, bad news for Democrats, they got beaten by themselves. Good news for Democrats, they finally found someone they can beat. Did you guys actually, I have to ask, did you guys pay any attention to the story? Because it was a huge political fight. It was these political story of the week.
No, I heard him when he was speaking at Camp David.
Yeah.
I heard him refer to the press sort of roiling the waters of his disagreement with Elizabeth Warren, and he said the press likes to poke at it, but really there's no big disagreement there.
There was a fairly big disagreement. The press did want to make it personal, and this is true. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts was the leader in opposition to this trade pact. And at one point, President Obama, in speaking about her, referred to her by her first name. Well, Elizabeth, he said, you know, she's also a politician and she has to stake out her positions. And he was accused by another Democratic senator of being sexist.
Because he called her
name's
Elizabeth?
Elizabeth? Because they're Elizabeth.
No.
Yes.
If he had called her that would have.
Yeah. If he had said, well.
Yes.
If he had said. Well, Senator Sweet Cheeks just shouldn't worry
precisely.
Her little head about it.
Yeah, precisely.
That would be sexist.
I think the name Elizabeth, given that it's hers, is fair game.
You'd think. Grace,
yes.
Here is your next quote.
Another old person tricked into buying AOL.
That was the journalist Scott Klein talking about whose announcement that they are, in fact, buying AOL.
Time Warner.
No, wait.
No?
That is a decent guess. Time Warner did this about 20 years ago.
Oh, they did it last time, right.
Yeah, much to their...
Comcast.
Yeah, no,
Verizon.
Verizon, yes. Wow. There's only like three companies left, yeah. So we get there. Verizon. Target. Most people reacted to the news that Verizon was buying AOL for more than $4 billion by saying, wow, AOL still exists. I thought that went under when everybody realized that having an AOL.com email address is the internet equivalent of going out to dinner at 4 p.m.
Listen, grandma's got an email too.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's either that or web TV.
Yeah. One of the things we found out this week is this company got bought for $4.4 million. AOL says there are 2 million people who still pay AOL every month for access to dial-up service. No. It's like they all live in a magical island where it's still 1996.
Do these people know that they're doing this? Or is this like an auto-rebill kind
Probably.
Of nightmare situation?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
No, I mean, AOL, it's really the internet equivalent of those TV preachers who call up your grandma and get her to donate money.
Yeah. They say, I've got mail. I like them.
Yeah. Grace, here is your last quote.
Do you have a singing teacher? Get a lawyer and sue her.
Those were the helpful words of Simon Cowell. He was, of course, once a fixture on the show that just announced it will finally be going off the air. What is the show?
Oh, gosh.
You have been doing a lot of painting, Grace.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, what is going on in Massachusetts?
That's why it's going off the air. Yeah. This pause.
What country?
Oh, America's Got Talent? No. America's Best something? America's...
The more you struggle with this and show your absolute ignorance of this whole genre of television, the more I admire you as a human being. So I'm gonna cut this short. And since you've already won our game, I'm just gonna tell you it's American Idol.
American Idol,
yeah.
Right. Of course. I don't have TV, sorry.
Well, let me explain for I'm sure many of our listeners pretend not to know what it is as well. So American Idol is, of course, the musical competition show, a huge show, but after creating superstars like Kelly Clarkson and Jennifer Hudson and about 10 interchangeable white guys with guitars, American Idol will finally go off the air next year. And here's the thing, and I think that those of you who watched it will agree with me. The reason it went off the air is because they could never replace Simon Cowell, who left it about 5 years ago, right? Because we didn't watch it for the talent. We watched it for Simon yelling at people. He was a real inspiration to all of us. Now we don't tell our kids, you need to do better in your homework. We say, you call that spelling? It looks like somebody vomited alphabet soup on your worksheet. Bill, how did Grace do in our quiz?
Well, she already won because she's living on the Cape.
Yes.
But she got 2 out of 3, and that's a winner here.
Very nice, Grace.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for playing, Grace.
Thank you.
Right now, guys, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, this week, Whole Foods made a big announcement. In 2016, they're going to open a bunch of new stores that will add something really special to the Whole Foods brand, something we've never seen at Whole Foods before. What?
Fat customers?
No.
Polite customers? I love the employees at Whole Foods, but I cannot stand the customers. I don't know about you, but all those women with the yoga mats blocking the chip aisle. They just bug me. I don't know. I thought they were going to put gardens on their roof or something.
That's. I'm sure they say they're going to do
that. Yeah, they did. Well, they said it to me.
Yes.
Can you give me a hint, Peter?
Yeah, the new chain of stores from Whole Foods has not been given a name, but we're sure that the nickname will be something like Half Paycheck.
Oh, they're going to put reasonably priced foods?
Yes, reasonable prices.
Oh, my gosh.
For the first time.
You know what? My neighbors and I last summer went in on a strawberry from Whole Foods.
I mean, with interest rates where they are, you can't afford not to.
Yeah, exactly. So in a way, this is going to tear my neighborhood apart.
Whole Foods, a corporate stock, has been slipping of late. It's partially because people have noticed it's weird to have to take out a loan to buy a package of brownies. Apparently, people want a store with more reasonable prices, and apparently their customers don't realize that store already exists and is called any other store in the world. We assume it's going to be like a Whole Foods outlet. Flawed and second quality merchandise and bins.
The quinoa that had like a hair in it.
Yeah. The probiotic yogurt that's actually antibiotic.
Or the vegetarian soup that has a big ham bone coming out of it.
Or really anything with gluten.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, you know, they have a new thing at Whole Foods,
which is
free-range gluten food.
Really? Well, wouldn't it make sense that if they're having all that gluten-free food, they should have a lot of food that's just gluten?
Yeah.
Just to even out the supply of gluten
half
in the world?
Half price on gluten. They have those commercials like the used car commercials. We're giving the gluten away. I do shop at Whole Foods occasionally.
Congratulations.
Not something I am kind of proud of. Because it just all looks so nice.
It does.
Doesn't it look nice?
Oh, their piles of fruit are
They have the
amazing.
Best fruit piles.
They really do.
And
bursting with
and
green.
At the reasonably priced news stores, all the fruit's just going to be on the floor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, exactly. Well, plus, if I buy something there that is, like a pastry or something, I tell myself that it's healthier.
Right, because it's a whole food.
Right, exactly. It's in Whole Foods, you know, and so I feel like it must be, therefore, it must be good for you. And so I buy most of my junk food there.
We'd like to say a quick thank you to one of our sponsors, Stamps.com. Stamps.com helps businesses avoid time-consuming trips to the post office. With Stamps.com, you use your own computer and printer to print official U.S. postage for any letter or package, and then the mail carrier picks it up. No more wasting time going to that post office or wasting money on expensive postage meters. Right now, listeners of this very podcast can use the promo code WAIT, W-A-I-T, for a special offer, a no-risk trial plus a digital scale and free postage. So go over to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and type in W-A-I-T, WAIT. That's Stamps.com, and enter WAIT.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Gabe Liebman, Paula Poundstone, and Luke Burbank. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. To play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Mary. I'm calling from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, I love St. Paul. What do you do there?
I work in IT.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep.
So you're a computer person. And what do you do to fulfill your desperate need for human contact?
Oh, actually, I do improv.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's exciting. It's a little scary. You got to come down to Chicago, the improv capital of the world.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Ooh. Oh, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling.
I've seen improv in Chicago, and it's really great.
Well, all right.
I feel like in Minnesota as well.
Improv in St. Paul was like the answer is always, yeah, sure.
Yep.
All right. It's very nice to have you with us, Mary. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Mary's topic?
No, Russia. Bad.
Russia, and we'd all agree, has been getting up in our grill lately, and someone decided in their own way to put a stop to it. This week, we read a story about someone taking a creative stand against Russian aggression and getting them to, back off a little. Guess the true story, and you will win Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. You ready to play?
Yep.
All right. First, let's hear from Luke Burbank.
Comedian Yakov Smirnoff first came to the attention of most Americans with jokes like, "In Soviet Russia, TV watches you." But according to recently declassified documents, he'd been on the CIA's radar much longer, thanks to his work as a U.S. spy. Smirnoff's job? Gathering information on Soviet Russia and transmitting it to his CIA handlers, often through his televised comedy acts. The CIA eventually evacuated Smirnoff from Russia after he delivered the joke, "In America, you can always find a party. In Soviet Russia, the party can always find you." Which was a predetermined code message
that the Russian authorities were closing in. Once Smirnoff was safely in the United States, Operation What a Country continued, with Smirnoff performing comedy by night and debriefing CIA Russian operatives by day, all in the last place anyone would look, Branson, Missouri. Smirnoff recently retired from spying, but not from comedy, and can still be seen six nights a week in Branson. Ask your aunt about the free shuttle bus from the casino.
Yakov Smirnoff, working against the former Soviet menace from his home base in Branson. Your next story of somebody raising an iron curtain against Russia comes from Gabe Liedman.
What do Russians hate more than capitalism, non-smokers, and neighboring sovereign nation states exercising self-rule combined? The answer is soaking wet, sexy gay dudes. Or any gay people, really, but it's safe to assume that soaking wet, sexy dudes would rank pretty high up there on the list of gay people who are not well-liked in Russia. That's why the Swedish Peace and Arbitration Society, SPAS, has launched its new tool to repel Russian aggressors. It's called the Singing Sailor, and it's an underwater neon sign with a shirtless sailor in his underpants, which transmits a message in Morse code, quote, "This way if you are gay." Under the lit-up sailor are the words, "Welcome to Sweden, gay since 1944. A reference to the year Sweden dropped its anti-gay laws, but also begging the question, what were you Russian guys up to in 1944? Oh, right, Stalin. Sweden, of course, was able to address human rights issues way back then because they remained neutral, or in gay parlance, versatile, during World War II. Since it's officially been re-illegal to be gay or gay-friendly in Russia since 2013, SPAS, or SPAS, as I will now call them because I'm fun, is hoping that their singing sailor will stop all Russian seamen in their tracks.
An underwater sign saying, "This way for gays, defend off Russian submarines from Swedish waters." Your last story of a bold stand comes from Paula Poundstone.
Tensions with Russia are growing within Finland. In reaction to Russia's territorial ambitions and Russian President Vladimir Putin's manic foreign relations, the people of Finland have begun to retaliate. People think of our Finnish people as just talking on our cell phones all the time, or that our hands are always in those muffy things, and that we don't notice anything or take action. But since the Russian troops have taken over Al-Kurti Air Base, located only 37 miles from our border, we put our phones on vibrate while we stop the Russians, says Finland's Agar Kivi, and take action they have. The Finns have posted official signs saying, "Russian troops line up here," all along their border. The brains behind the operation, Jokara Paleri, explains, "Russians follow directions well and have a long history of standing in lines. This should stop them. We may also try Russians, place guns here, and tank excess only on Tuesdays."
The Finnish people, using the Russian natural inclination to line up against the possibly invading troops. That was from Paula Poundstone. From Gabe Liedman, we heard how a Swedish group has put a sign saying, "Gaze this way," to fend off homophobic Russian submariners. And from Luke Burbank, the story of how Yakov Smirnoff, who you thought was a merely not very funny Russian comedian, was actually an asset, working against the interests of his native country through the CIA. Which of these is the real story of a counteroffensive against Russian aggression?
Oh, man. I think I have to go with Luke, with the comedian in Russia.
So I just want to clarify this. You believe that Yakov Smirnoff, the Russian comedian from the 80s, now playing in Branson, was actually a CIA operative. And during his residency in Branson, he was debriefing Russian defectors and spies, presumably between his 8 p.m. and his 9:30 p.m. shows?
No. I really don't. Let's see. Let's go with Gabe's.
You're going to go with Gabe's now.
Yeah. Oh.
So you are going to pick Gabe's story. Well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to someone involved in this true counteroffensive.
It's a gay sailor that is on a signboard. This sends out the Morse signal this way if you are gay.
That was Christopher Burnett Cargill. He is the Secretary General of the Swedish Peace and Arbitration Society, who were the guys who put the underwater sign in Swedish waters warning Russian submarines that there were gays ahead. So you pulled it out and you picked Gabe. You were right. Gabe gets a point for being honest.
Nice. I'll take it.
Pity you point. Win our prize, Carol Castle's voice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And now the game where somebody who has achieved great things achieves something not so great. It's called Not My Job. Now, if you mention the name Tony Robbins to people, a lot of them will say things like, oh my God, he changed my life. And they mean that in a good way. Tony has been traveling the world for decades, giving his intensive seminars on improving your life. He's written a number of best-selling books, including his latest, Money, Master the Game. Tony Robbins, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
So I've heard about you. My friends are among those who have read your books and watched your videos and attended your seminars. And how does one get into the business you're in of being sort of a global life coach to people? Did you start like giving advice in high school? Did people find you like after school and say, Tony, you know, the cheerleader won't date me. What do I do? Or whatever the high school problems were at that time.
As silly as it sounds, yes. It started with people wanting to lose weight because I'm 6'7 today, but I was 5'1 my sophomore year in high school, and I was fat. And so I turned myself around, and my buddies asked me. It started with that, and then it grew to helping people in their relationships. And I became the go-to guy with it. And I got addicted to lighting people up, just seeing people so happy because they rediscovered what they're capable of. And so that became my life's work.
Wait. Do you actually claim that you willed yourself into being 6'7"?
No, I tell that, you know, I was 5'1", I'm 6'7", the difference is personal growth.
Yeah. Tony, you're known for taking your preparation really seriously. That's what you teach. What is it like to just relax and take it easy?
Really good. I have one of my boys is really good at what he calls chilling, and I asked him for some advice today.
you got the message, well, they don't want you to prepare, they just want you to relax, you had to seek out advice and counsel on how to relax?
Yes, I'm obsessed.
That's great. I just found a job that my son can go into.
Yeah, chill coach.
Tony, you're obviously very famous for helping people. Do people out in public ever just come up to you and ask for help?
Well, the answer is yes. I either get to hear a magnificent story or somebody wants some help, and it's very different than just seeing somebody in a movie and getting an autograph or taking a picture. I remember one specific time years ago, true story, I'm standing at the urinal doing the necessary, and this man starts looking at me and looks at me again, looks at me, goes, oh my God, you're Tony Robbins, oh my God. He goes, I'm suicidal, I need your help. And he turns in the process.
No.
Towards me, and I'm got this stuff all over my legs, and I said, you know, I think I can help you with that suicide situation.
Tony, do your kids take your advice?
Yeah, well, they do. It helps to be 6'7" and not take any.
Oh, wow. You've mentioned, and I know it's true, that among the people you've helped are presidents. Is it true that, like, the presidents who call you for help or the major celebrities or the business leaders have the same kind of problems that everybody else, just of a larger
scale? Yeah, everybody does. I mean, some people have problems that are on the world stage, but they're still the same problems. They have to do with your inability to perform at the same level you did before, or a loss of confidence, or a situation where you've got to figure out how to influence people and break through a giant obstacle. So, and in sports, it's, you know, losing that rhythm, you know, finding yourself in a place where you can't do what you've done well forever, and you got to change it right now. So I get the call when Serena Williams is, you know, burning down, I got to turn around right now. Or when the President of the United States, President Clinton, called me, true story, and says they're going to impeach me in the morning. What should I do?
Wait a minute. Really?
My first response was, could you call me sooner?
you should have called me before you ordered that pizza 2 years ago, you said.
I'm sure I'm not the only person he spoke to that night for advice, but I was one of them, yes.
And when you got that phone call from the President of the United States, who was about to be impeached, first time since Andrew Johnson in the 1860s, did you have a moment where you said to yourself, I cannot believe this is happening?
No, I've had plenty of those moments. That wasn't one because he and I already had a strong relationship at that point. But
what did you say when Andrew Jackson called you?
All right, Tony Robbins, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
What
Oh, sorry, I was resting my eyes.
So you're all about turning people into go-getters, so we thought we'd ask you about three stories of incredibly lazy people. Instead of go-getters, say stay-putters. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who is Tony Robbins playing for?
Bill Childs of Austin, Texas.
All right. So all right. Bill's got it all riding on you. And by the way, Tony, we encourage you to unleash your power within here as necessary. A power pose might help. I don't know. First question. Some lazy people have at least tried to fight back into their lives against the forces of laziness, such as which of these? Was it A, in 2009, a Montana man put springs and a motor into his lazy boy so it would vault him into a standing position when he pulled the crank? B, a woman in Illinois hired a genuine former Chicago mobster to threaten her life whenever she did not get her filing done? Or C, in 2004, a Wisconsin man, fed up with lying around and being lazy, sued the cable TV company for making him that way?
Oh, my God. Unfortunately, all three of these are very likely. A and C seem most likely. I'll go with A.
You're going to go with A. He rebuilt his lazy boy, so instead of just standing up, he would be launched forward in an upright position. It's a good idea, but it was actually C.
See,
a Wisconsin man sued Charter Communications for making him fat, slovenly, and lazy by giving him such delightful things to watch on TV all day.
Welcome to America.
I know. It's a great place. All right. Reddit, which, as you know, is a user-edited website, once asked its users to name the laziest thing they had ever done. Which of these was a real answer? A, the man who tied his dog to his remote control car so he could use that to give his dog a walk from the comfort of his couch. B, the guy who drove in his car from the back of the garage to the front of the garage to get something. Or C, instead of getting up and walking to the refrigerator to get a Coke, he just picked up his phone and ordered one bottle to be delivered from Peapod, the grocery delivery company.
Oh, my God. These are horrible. I'll go with A. I got to see this guy having his dog be walked by his butt in that car.
And that's right. It was A. The other ones we made up. The anonymous Redditor with the RC, remote-controlled monster truck, and the dog says, quote, "Don't judge me." All right. If you get this last one, you will win our prize for our
listener. All right, Bill. I'm working for you up there, Bill.
All right. If you Google laziest person ever, you will probably end up with which of these stories? A, the Navy officer who ordered his ship to change course rather than move in his wardroom seat to get the sun out of his eyes. B, a man who was too lazy to get out of bed and eat breakfast every day, so he installed an enormous hopper filled with Cap'n Crunch right above his bed. Or C, a story about a man who was writing a quiz and did nothing more than Google the phrase "laziest person ever."
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B?
Yeah.
So the guy is a huge hopper filled with Captain Crunch, specifically Captain Crunch. And instead of getting up to get breakfast, presumably he would just lay back and pull a chain that would release a flow of Captain Crunch in the manner of a granary, perhaps, or a silo, into his presumably open mouth. So really, you're going to go with B, is what you're saying.
Tony?
All right, well, change it to A quick before we get out of here.
All right, yes, it's A. Thank you very much. The story, which can never be proven, is unbelievably detailed, and it concerns an unnamed officer on an unnamed ship who, after what is apparently a rough night, decides it's easier to tell the ship to change course than to move from his seat in the wardroom as he eats his bagel. Bill, how did Tony Robbins do in our quiz?
Well, Tony's a winner, and he was here, too. 2 out of 3. Congratulations.
Well done, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony Robbins is a life coach and the author of many best-selling books. His latest New York Times bestseller is Money, Master the Game. Tony Robbins, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Tony.
Bye-bye.
You're great.
They call me lazy. God knows I'm only tired. They call me lazy.
So nobody likes going to the store shopping for mattresses. You're in there, you're dealing with salesmen, you feel awkward lying on the mattress for 30 seconds to see if you want to keep it. It's terrible. Here's a better way. It's from one of our sponsors, Casper. They're an online retailer for mattresses. Casper mattresses are American-made. They're obsessively engineered for comfort. Really, these guys are like nerds about it. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give you just the right amount of sink and bounce. Technical terms, people. And they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days. And you get free delivery and returns if on day 99 you don't like it. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price. So go to Casper.com/waitwait to check out their options. And they have a special offer for listeners to this podcast. Use the promo code waitwait to redeem $50 toward a Casper mattress of your choice. Thanks.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Luke Burbank, and Gabe Liebman. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. And just a minute. After years on the run, Bill turns himself in for war rhymes. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Luke, according to a new report from a government watchdog group, during his time in office, Governor Chris Christie has spent over $80,000 of taxpayer money on what?
A bagel at Whole Foods.
They are fresh.
Yes.
No, not that. Although you're in the right arena, if you will.
On food.
Yes. Specifically where?
Football games.
Yes. He spent $80,000 on the concessions at a football stadium. According to Watchdog.org, over the course of two football seasons, Christie spent more than $80,000 for food and drink at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. It's almost understandable if you were to imagine him, the governor of New Jersey, at a New Jersey sporting event in the luxury box, entertaining guests of the state. But then we found out the bill included 5,000 hot dogs, 8,000 chocolate malts, and just one funnel. Okay, we know making fat jokes about Chris Christie is tired, it's cliched, we had given it up, we had sworn it off, and then he went and did something like this.
He must have said one, you know how they go like, you know, get your snow cones, get your snow cones. He must have just said one guy circling him all the time.
Yeah. Or is it possible he bought a round for the house?
It's possible. Hey, everybody, what do you want for lunch? Luke, the dating app Tinder is used mainly for hooking up with strangers, but a woman in Chicago found it can also be used for what?
Getting someone to bring her a hot dog at a Cubs game.
That is so close, I'm going to give it to you. It is getting people, men, to bring her pizza.
Wow.
Wow. The fact that you just thought of that is both impressive and scary. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, one woman in Chicago, who they only call Kate, has found a way to leverage male desperation into a food source. When she gets hungry, she swipes right in every guy she finds on Tinder, and, of course, somebody's going to swipe right back. And then right away, she lays it out for the guy. She says, I don't really want to talk to you. I just want some pizza. If you send me a pizza, I might talk to you. And she gets pizzas, because guys send her pizzas.
Well, I can't help feeling this may have been how Chris Christie rang up his bill.
It's possible.
Also, do they know if Kate is actually a woman? Because I think I just figured out how to get a free pizza later tonight.
Yes. I don't have Tinder because I use a flip phone, but it...
I think that's called Hinder.
Yeah. No, it works as a divining rod.
Paula, Columbia University has been asked to reconsider its classes on Greek mythology.
Yes.
Why?
Because a lot of people don't believe in those stories.
No.
I don't know. Give me a hint.
Well, imagine if you just walk innocently into class, and of course it turns out that you were in fact sired by a woman and a swan. How would you feel?
Be, Are you saying I wasn't? I have no idea.
Do either of you two gentlemen know?
Would it be uncomfortable because of a trigger warning type
yes,
situation?
Yes, it's a trigger warning type of situation.
What's a trigger
now,
warning?
Now, imagine, again, I mean, you may laugh. You say, they're just Greek myths. It's technically, thank you. They're teaching Ovid's Metamorphoses, of course, is ancient classic literature. And it's beautiful, and it's literature, and it's part of the canon. But imagine if you...
I'm trying to pretend that I understood every word of that.
Yes.
Ovid's Metamorphoses, part of the canon. Yes, yes. Yes.
Well, imagine
That's
if you walked
exactly
into that class.
Exactly what I was just thinking. I was thinking about Ovid's Metamorphoses as being part of the canon. I watch Boardwalk Empire.
It's a pretty good show, though.
Great show. It's not part of Ovid's Metamorphoses, whatever. So, okay, so they didn't want them to teach that class because it might...
How
did you know about the trigger vulnerability? All right,
because I was left on a hillside to die, but then came back and somehow ended up marrying my mother.
Yeah.
And
oh,
killing my father. And geez. If I hear about it one more time, I'm going to be triggered.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll set you off.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, and our first ever show at the beautiful Mann Center outdoors in Philadelphia on July 9th. And be sure to check out How to Do Everything. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to make friends with a penguin. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Isaac from Camden, South Carolina.
Why, hey, Isaac, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'll tell you, really excited to be on the show. It's something I've been trying to do now for, I don't know, maybe about 5 years.
Wow. Well, I feel like Tony Robbins. I've helped you achieve a life goal. Isaac, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis right now is going to read three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Ready to play?
Let's get it on.
Ooh. A little scary.
He's been saving that for 5 years.
I understand. Here is your first limerick.
In his regular Here's Where I Go spot, my mechanical dog pops a low squat. He'll emit a few sparks and some low tinny barks. There's no cleanup because he's a...
robot.
Yes, a robot. Well done.
Good for you.
Wow. A new report in the journal Frontiers in Veterinary Science says that because our cities are getting more and more crowded, we'll soon have to replace our dogs with robot dogs. They will be an improvement in the future because they use fewer resources. You don't need to walk them or feed them or take them to the park. But strangely, robots are like real dogs in that they will hump your legs no matter how much you fix them. All right, here is your next limerick.
At the house where the films du jour play, the usher comes by with your tray. You'll be watching a mobster while eating a lobster. The snacks at this place are...
They are.
That's called a South Carolina rhyme.
That's so brilliant. I almost want to give it to you, but I want to give you another chance because you're so close. You have the word. You know what the word means. You know what it rhymes with, but I'm sure you'll get it. Here we go.
At the house where the films du jour play, the usher comes by with your tray. You'll be watching a mobster while eating a lobster. The snacks at this place are...
gourmet.
Yes, gourmet. Well
God,
done.
How did you get that?
According to the Wall Street Journal, the hot new trend in the movie theater business is high-end food, like lobster rolls and edamame. It's going to be really weird to go to the concession stand and be like, could you give me a bottomless oyster bucket and a 64-ounce Merlot gulp? Here is your last limerick.
The male attendees can't care less if it's yup or I do or just yes. My bride's lack of threads has messed with their heads. They're gawping to see through her.
Dress.
Yes, dress right.
Yes, it is.
New York recently hosted Bridal Fashion Week, and one trend dominated the runways, see-through wedding dresses. This seems a real departure from the more modest, traditional look. Remember, as your grandma said, why buy the cow when you get to see what the cow looks like naked?
That does seem like the perfect wedding dress for a couple that met on Tinder.
Unfortunately, even invisible bridesmaids' dresses are still somehow ugly. Bill, how did Isaac do in our quiz?
3 for 3. Isaac's good. South Carolina.
Well done. Congratulations, Isaac. Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
I can. Gabe got 4, Luke 2, and Paula 1.
This is when I really come alive.
All right, Paula, you are in third place,
yeah.
So you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill
Perfect.
In the blank. According to investigators, the Amtrak train that derailed in blank this week was traveling at twice this recommended speed limit.
Philadelphia.
Right. This week, Woman of Algiers, a painting by blank, broke records when it sold for over $179 million.
Oh, my heavens, I don't know. Maybe Picasso?
In fact, Picasso. Well done. Tuesday marked the beginning of a 5-day truce between Iranian-backed rebels and the government of blank.
Yemen.
Right. In an official post on the department's Facebook page, the police force of North Adams, Massachusetts, advised their citizens not to blank.
Not to run in front of cars.
No, not to get drunk and chase bears with a dull hatchet, which one of their residents did.
Oh.
Last week, San Francisco became the first city to ban blank at its sporting venues.
Plastic bottles?
No chewing tobacco. Due to a contract dispute, Harry Shearer announced he would be ending his 26-year run providing voices on blank.
Oh, The Simpsons?
Right. This week, a man in Arkansas who thought he had the Hebrew word for strength tattooed on his arm discovered he actually had blank.
Putz.
No. It's actually the word matzah. So this went viral on Facebook, this photograph, when a Jewish person took it when they saw him in Arkansas. This guy was very proud because he said the word tattooed, very large letters, Hebrew letters on his arm, meant strength, but the person who took the picture, who can read Hebrew, knew that it was actually the word matzah. That's the flat, unleavened, crisp bread that Jews eat during Passover. In other words, this Arkansas man had an enormous tattoo in his arm of the word cracker.
No, worse yet, flavorless crackers.
Yes, truly is the worst. Bill, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula got 5 right for 10 more points. She has 11 and the lead.
Wow. Very well done.
Wow. I don't think it's going to be enough.
Luke, you're up. Luke, you're up next. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, while still recovering from last week's earthquake, blank experienced a 7.3 aftershock.
Nepal.
Right. On Monday, the NFL announced it was suspending blank for 4 games for his role in Deflategate.
Tom Terrific.
Right. Or Tom Brady. In a new treaty due to be signed this week, the Vatican officially recognized blank's statehood.
South Carolina?
No, Palestine. This week, Jeb Bush announced that, knowing what we know now, he would not authorize blank.
The war in Iraq.
Right, he changed his mind a little bit. A man in Pennsylvania may get kicked out of his retirement home after he was discovered hiding a blank under his bed.
A prostitute.
Yes. In a statement released on Sunday, the World Health Organization declared that Liberia was free from blank.
Ebola.
Right. This week, ESPN announced they were parting ways with columnist and Grantland founder blank.
Bill Simmons.
Right. A 51-year-old man who suffered from breathing problems his whole life is breathing freely now after he blank.
Died.
No, after he sneezed. Although that would be a solution, what this guy did was he sneezed out a toy dart that had been stuck in his nose for 44 years. When Steve Easton was but 7 years old, he and some friends were playing a classic game of Steve's nostril is bullseye. 44 years later, he got in a sneezing fit and, whoop, out it came. His wife said, God bless you, even though clearly God had not been paying any attention to Steve for the prior 44 years. Bill, how did Luke do on our quiz?
He got 6 right for 12 more points and took over the lead with 14.
All right, so how many then does Gabe need to win this game?
5 to tie and 6 to win.
I can do that.
You can do this. Here we go, Gabe, for the game. On Monday, the White House denied allegations that it had lied about the details of the raid that killed blank.
Bin Laden.
Yes. According to officials in Iraq, a coalition airstrike on Tuesday killed blank's second in command.
ISIS.
Right. On Wednesday, the House voted to end blank's phone surveillance program.
NSA?
Yes. George Stephanopoulos apologized this week for not disclosing a $50,000 donation he had made to blank.
The Clinton Foundation.
Right. A TV anchor in Detroit threw to Wednesday morning's weather report by saying blank.
F you guys.
No, she said, quote, hopefully we'll have a dry hump day. Oh. According to the Department of Homeland Security, the 2 Secret Service agents who crashed through a grate and drove onto the White House lawn were probably blank.
Drunk.
Right. On Thursday, Tom Hanks was announced as the guest for the final episode of blank's late night show.
Letterman.
Right. A group of thieves in New York who stole a cash register and a bowl of macaroni salad from a restaurant were eventually caught when police blanked.
Found them eating the macaroni a couple feet away?
No, they followed the trail of spilled macaroni. According to the police report, the 3 thieves took turns eating the stolen food, leaving, quote, a steady trail of macaroni salad. The police then followed that trail and ended up arresting Hansel and Gretel just before they made it to the gingerbread house where the witch who fenced their loot lived. Bill, how did Gabe do on our quiz?
Well, look how the rookie did. He got 6 right, 12 more points, a winner at 16. Yes!
Well done, Gabe.
Yes.
Very nice.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with the Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Jeanette Ulibi Harris Quartz. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les DeLarchik at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltrover and Miles Dornbos. Technical directions from Lorna White. Her CFO is Andy N. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, who will win the last season of American Idol? Luke Burbank.
Tony Robbins singing a duet with his close friend Bill Clinton, covering Who's That Girl?
Gabe Liedman.
I say give it to Paula Abdul. It'll be like that movie Rudy.
And Paula Poundstone.
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond?
Well, if it happens, we're going to ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Luke Burbank, Gabe Liedman, and Paula Poundstone. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.